Welcome to Coffee with the Coaching Revolutionaries from thecoachingrevolution.com.
Hello, Sarah Short here with the rather wonderful
Paul Snell.
One of the things that we get asked about a lot, and we thought we'd have a conversation around it on this podcast episode, is why we think it's so important that coaches have the two skill sets that together provide 100% of the skills that you need to have a financially viable business, a business that you can actually live on the proceeds of, that you can make your living doing. So let's just recap how that works. On one side of the scale, in my head, I've got one of those old-fashioned weighing scales where you have to put things on both sides to make them balance. So on one side, you have your coaching skills, and that's the delivery half of your business. On the other side of the scale, completely different skill set, but equally important, and I can't stress that enough, on the other side of the scales are the business development skills. They very specifically create the opportunities to do the delivery. Now, we're under no misunderstanding whatsoever. We all know, us coaching revolutionaries, that what coaches love is the delivery half. We're all the same. We all love the delivery half. However, without those skills that create the opportunities to do the delivery half, businesses fail. And you've heard us say endlessly, the global statistic is that 82% of coaching businesses will fail in the first 2 years. And we can tell you absolutely with authority that the reason that they fail is because they don't have business development skills, the business of coaching rather than the actual coaching. Those are the skills that they don't have developed. Paul, talk to me about business development skills. What are we talking about?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question, and of course it's a broad and wide subject to discuss, but for the sake of this podcast, what I'd really like to talk about is the fact that as coaches, when we enter into having a coaching business and we have that desire to have a successful coaching business, what part of that mindset is the freedom to choose?
Yes.
Right? It's a fantastic opportunity to choose your own way forward. And in business development, there are choices that need to be made that affect the outcome, right? And the point of being in business is we are free to choose those or not. And one of those choices is we need to be consistent with our business development to get to a point where our business has momentum, right?
Yes.
So I've got to say, from my side of the fence here, talking about business development, what immediately comes to mind is consistency. Consistency, consistency, showing up, doing your thing every day with commitment.
Yes. And let's talk a little bit about what your thing is.
Yeah.
Because I had a really interesting conversation recently with a coach who thought we just taught social media marketing. And of course, that's an element of it. And it's a really important element of it in, you know, the 21st century. Anybody who thinks that social media isn't important is frankly a dinosaur these days, aren't they? You know, it is where people go to get their information.
Yes.
So yes, we absolutely do teach social media marketing. However, it's so much broader than that. What other kinds of things are your coaches doing, Paul, your mentees?
Well, outside of the social media, let's just put that aside for a moment. And I think, Sarah, you know, I've got a particular passion for presenting, for engaging. And yes, of course, I see the value. And of course, I can see where social media fits. But it really lights my fire to get up in front of people and share my passion. In doing that, the ability to deliver a concise marketing message in a presentation, on a one-to-one, one-to-many, is a key aspect of how we develop business. Because what it does do, significantly what it does do, two things. It is written towards our ideal client.
What is?
The marketing message.
Right, okay.
The marketing toolkit we develop, particularly the marketing message, the presentation we develop, is aimed fairly and squarely at our ideal client. It's written in that way. Mm-hmm. The second part is it's there to engender trust We want people to feel, not just process logically, but feel trust. Because people buy when they feel they can trust the outcome, when they feel they can trust the thing they're buying, right?
And trust the coach.
Yes.
Not just trust the outcome.
Absolutely trust the coach. That's the thing that, look, to put it bluntly, that's the thing we're selling, right? We're selling the coach. There is, you don't sell a program. You can, yes, you can have programs and they can have fancy names, but at the end of the day, it will be the coach that they buy.
Yeah.
And that ability to win trust in a conversation, in a presentation, is way up on the list for me.
Yeah, it goes back to people by people.
Yeah.
Every single time, people by people. I would just like to jump in here, though, and make a really important point. That the way that we help coaches develop their marketing message is that we help them to create a 40-minute presentation, which is very, very specifically tailored to the exact kind of client they want to work with. However, if you as a coach loathe public speaking, if you never once want to get up on your back legs and present to a group of people, that is perfectly okay.
Yes.
Because rather like, for those of us who went to uni, when you were writing an essay, it's all the research that you do for this presentation. It's all, every little bit of work that you put in crafting this message becomes your marketing toolkit. So yes, one way of looking at it is it's a presentation. Another way of looking at it is it's 10 chunks of very, very relevant information. And another way of looking at it is it's 10,000 little pieces of tools which together make up this one thing. But don't get hung up on the idea that it's a presentation, because after all, a conversation can be one-to-one can be a presentation.
It can. And let's be absolutely clear here. There, as you started this podcast with, there's the social media aspect. And we're talking about crafting this presentation, but the reality to it is the content can be used in many different ways.
Used everywhere. The content will be used everywhere.
Agreed. Well, I guess what I'm saying is, as a people person who loves getting up there and talking to people, it means a lot to me. But please don't get hung up on that. You know, this is just my view. The reality of the process we go through is all-encompassing, right? We want to make sure the spectrum of coaches get covered in this, because it's an awesome and fantastic approach.
Absolutely. And the spectrum of personalities.
Yeah.
I've had somebody say, well, it's all right for you because you're an extrovert. I'm like, oh, no, it isn't. That's not how it works. The process that we deliver, no, let me rephrase that. The process that we teach, that the coach then delivers, works every time, providing that the coach is doing exactly what they're supposed to do. And this isn't something that we teach you and then we go, bye then, off you go. Your mentor, you know, each mentee's mentor, that's not easy to say, after gin o'clock, they will be watching what you're doing like a hawk, especially the social media stuff.
Mm.
Because if you go off track, if what you do starts to be a bit bland, if it's not engaging, if it's not absolutely on point, your mentor will be all over you like a rash. And that's important.
It is. And just to be clear on that, excuse me, it's... the role of a mentor isn't simply to teach something.
No.
Right? The role of a mentor is bigger than that. We're there to encourage, to impart experience that we've had, to share stuff that leads the people, the mentees that want to have this fantastic business as a coach, that balances out, that gives them the income to do this every single day. We're there to walk with them, and there's more than just teaching. And you touched on a part there, Sarah, about we keep an eye on their words that they use on social media. We also help them analyze that.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was going to go on to say, is that analyzing what you do both online and offline, you know, looking at what happened, looking at how it went, looking at what the outcome was. Was that what you wanted? Was it better than you wanted? Was it not as good as what you wanted? What can you learn? What can you change? What can you tweak? What can you do different going forwards? That's all a really big part of it. However, there comes a point where you've generated momentum. And once that momentum is generated, what happens then is that inquiries start to come. And that's what's really beautiful about this particular way that we teach of developing a coaching business, is that it generates inbound inquiries. So people who fit the profile of the kind of client you want to work with will come to you and say, "Hey, Paul, I read that thing you wrote. I heard that thing you said. I saw an article you've written. I watched a video you made." Any of the above, one or two of the above, and you're talking about me. Can we have a chat?
Yeah, I've got to say, I get so passionate about this. When I see a mentee from the Coaching Revolution get this, and there's a tipping point.
Yes.
Right? They do all the work, consistent, and then it tips. And then all of a sudden, those inbound leads, then all of a sudden, having wonderful conversations, winning that business. Now, please understand, it isn't a walk in the park all the time. The tipping point isn't a tipping point of, oh, I can take the foot off the gas. A tipping point is when you see it happening in front of you and you realise, when you look back on your journey, that it was that consistency that made the difference.
And that every little step took you further.
Yes.
And the other thing is that, to be salesy for a second, that we call that generating a sales pipeline. So you have a pipeline of inquiries that start to come. And what that means is you can start to understand that you can see where your next client is coming from. And what that means is that not only can you go, right, okay, I know what I'm doing now. I know what works. I know what doesn't. I know which bits are the most effective. I can drop the bits that are ineffective, because there will be some bits that are ineffective. And it's always quite difficult if the bits that are ineffective are your favourite bits. But nevertheless, those are the bits you drop. What it means is that this is not a massively time-consuming thing.
No.
And that's, I think, some coaches get hung up on the idea that they're going to have to spend all day, every day doing marketing. And that's not what I wanted to be. I don't want to be a coach to do marketing. I want to be a coach to do coaching. Well, you can't if you haven't got clients.
Yeah.
So learn the skills that you need to generate clients. And in the end, you can do this in sort of 45 minutes a day. It's not a biggie. In fact, we have mentees who set off while they're working very full-time jobs, who sit down on a Sunday morning, plan their work social media content and schedule the whole lot, so that all they're doing during the week is engaging and responding and answering questions and asking questions, and it becomes a very comfortable thing. Very comfortable, and not this kind of hideous, oh, I feel so pushy, I feel so uncomfortable, I don't like it.
I agree.
Nothing pushy about it.
No, there really isn't. There really isn't. But I also can understand how you can come from that mindset. And I think part of that, when I think back to my journey, part of it was I started, or my desire to coach comes from this deep thing to help other people.
Yes.
Right? We're other people centred. One of the risks and one of the areas that I see repeatedly is that our passion to be other person centered, to see the good outcome for the other person, can mix in with our business head. Right, to use the Wurzel Gummidge context, I have a business head and I have a coaching head, and my business head is very focused on a very moral, ethical approach, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's business. So don't mix that with your coaching head, because they are two different things.
Yes.
As you quite rightly described, Sarah, they're either side of a weighing scale.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And this is why the idea that we all pick up from coach training school, we pick up this idea that giving away coaching for free will generate business.
Yeah.
And it doesn't. And as I say those words, I can hear people listening to this podcast going, but I got a client like that. And of course you did. Yes, you can pick up the odd client by delivering free discovery sessions, strategy sessions, chemistry sessions, whatever you want to call them. However, you're not going to pick them up often enough to be able to create a financially sustainable business. You're just not.
You're not. Consistency is the word here. Consistency in action, consistency in outcome.
But even then, you can consistently give away free coaching. And what actually happens in reality is that you run out of people to give coaching to.
You do. Absolutely you do. But when you get the action right and you want the outcome right,
yep,
then you find that balance, that consistency balance in taking the right action with the right outcome.
Yep.
And it's not, you know, I'm going to sound here. People are going to go, oh, yeah, but you make it sound awful, Paul. No, it's not. Let me qualify this. It doesn't, the effort doesn't stop once you get momentum.
No. It just changes.
It just changes. And also, what else happens is it stops being I'm dreading doing the sales thing. Because sometimes they hear that too, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know anything about sales. I need sales training.
And what it becomes is this revelation that actually it's really quite enjoyable.
I know.
Having good conversations with people. Who knew?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, really, is at the end of the day, that's what a coaching sales conversation is.
Mm.
It's a conversation. In fact, very specifically, it's a coaching conversation.
Yes, it is.
There is nothing uncomfortable about it. There is nothing pushy about it. There is nothing kind of outside.
Dirty.
Yes. Grubby. Grubby is the word, yeah. There's nothing grubby about it. And we have coaches who say, right, okay, I know the system. Now I need sales training. We cover everything from soup to nuts.
Yeah.
We cover all of it. And once you understand what it is you need to do and when and how often, and you're absolutely right about the consistency, but once you've got it and it's a skill that you've learned, then what's happened is that your comfort zone has moved.
Yes.
Because, of course, business development is outside most coaches' comfort zones because that's not how they see themselves for a start, and it's also not a skill set that they have. And so they can get, honestly, sometimes really quite sniffy about it. But I don't want to do that. Well, in which case, you don't want a business. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Because if you did, you'd be prepared to learn the skills that you needed to do to have a business. And, you know, are they uncomfortable? Well, anything new that you learn is uncomfortable initially. You know, of course it is, because it's outside your comfort zone. Yeah. But once you do it consistently and you know what you're doing, then all of a sudden it just becomes part of who you are.
Yeah.
It's like learning to drive. You know, that first driving lesson. Can you remember your first? I particularly remember I was on I can even tell you where it was, but I was on this row, a street that was a row, two rows of terrace houses facing each other, and the road was double parked all the way up, and one guy had his door open. In fact, two of them, I was going to have to drive on the pavement to get round them, or reverse. And I looked and I just thought, I can't do this. And I'm going to have to get from here to the other end of the road into fourth gear and back down, and just panicking that. And when was the last time you actually thought about changing gear?
Yeah.
And I just remember that feeling of utter horror. And driving is so far inside my comfort zone now that I drive tens of thousands of miles a year.
Yeah, you're so right. It's one of those things. I would love, if you imagine there's a fence, and on the other side of the fence, we all look and go, oh, it looks so good over there, because that's where all the successful people are.
Mm.
Well, let me just qualify this. You can be as successful as you want to be. It's your choice. You want to be that side of the fence? Do the work that you're asked to do.
Learn
consistently.
The thing.
Learn the thing. We and I'm sure anyone listening to our podcast will see from our episodes, we have podcasts where people have done exactly that. They now stand on that side of the fence going,
interviewed mentees.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I want to encourage people. I don't want people to think, just in case they do, and I don't think they do, I don't want people to think that you need to be some exceptional person with an exceptional level of knowledge and capability. It's doing the right thing.
Yes.
Every day.
And if you can coach,
yes,
you have the right basis for learning these other skills, because they do. The foundations are in coaching.
Yes.
And so, yes, it's currently outside your comfort zone. it won't be outside your comfort zone forever. And to just go back to what you said about wanting success, to be clear, there's no shortage of success.
No.
You know, there's as much success there for anybody who wants it. It's not like if I'm successful, that means you can't be. It's absolutely not the case. And so if you want to be successful, you have to make a decision that you're going to be successful.
Yeah.
And then what you have to do is do the right thing. And if you don't know what the right thing is, then find somebody who does and learn from them.
Yeah.
And I, of course, I'm duty bound to say, be very careful who that is, because there are a lot of people out there that will sting you and not teach you things that you need to know, or, you know, promise you the earth and not deliver. But equally, there are people who don't, like us.
Yeah, and you know, just to touch on that point without going into detail, I'm passionate that people learn the skills to do this, that it isn't something you simply read out of a book. It's the reason we mentor. If it was just a book, you could buy a book. If learning stuff was simply a book, everyone would be successful.
Well, of course, or if it was simply a free online course, or if it was simply a downloadable PDF, or if it was simply any of those things, then we'd all be successful.
Correct.
So just find yourself somebody who knows what they're doing,
who's
doing the thing that you want to learn, and go and be their mentee. May I, as we're reaching the end of this podcast, may I recommend that the people you talk to are us at the Coaching Revolution?
Yeah, I would. I honestly, I would love to have the conversations. Let's do it. If there's anyone listening who wants to do this, let's do it.
If you go to our website, you'll find a button to book a call with me. Costs nothing. Takes 20 or 30 minutes. I won't sell you anything or try to sell you anything. You don't have to, you know, be on your best behaviour and your best bib and tucker. We can just have a chat and let's see whether or not we're singing off the same hymn sheet.
Perfect.
Thanks very much, Paul.
See you soon.
You've been listening to Coffee with the Coaching Revolutionaries from thecoachingrevolution.com. If you go to Facebook and search Coaching Republic, you can find our business building community, especially for coaches. See you there.